I like hearing those footsteps. Today's reading from Matthew's gospel is quite a contrast to what we've been hearing from Jesus lately. In the past weeks, Jesus has been talking about the cost of discipleship, the certainty of persecution, conflict, suffering, and painful division for those who choose to follow him. Leave it all behind, pick up your cross, give up your life for my sake. Strong stuff. And today, his tone changes. And Jesus appears to be all sweet and light, promising rest and comfort, light burdens and easy yokes. This is more like it. Gentle masters are much more to our liking, if we must have masters at all. But Jesus' words here are a little more complex than they seem. First of all, the primary thrust of what Jesus is saying here is not directed toward people who have just any kind of difficulty. Jesus is not speaking to the folks with ordinary problems such as too many bills, being unemployed, sick, having ungrateful kids, a hard life, or whatever. Jesus is talking quite specifically to and about those who are on a religious quest, those who are seeking God and a relationship with God. He is calling to himself the religiously exhausted, those who have been living under intense legalism. In Jesus' time, a yoke was the common symbol for the law of Moses. Those details and minutiae of the law and the legalism of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rabbis, the high priest. The yoke of the Pharisees, their demands that you have to do this and this and this exactly right in order to matter to God, in order to be a decent person, in order to be loved or counted significant. Today, in today's gospel, Jesus rejects that. That ancient yoke, the yoke of seeking God by keeping the rules, by doing what somebody or anybody or everybody else says is the thing to do, by trying to get it right all the time, and so living constantly in fear of getting it wrong, that yoke leads those who wear it to being labored and heavy laden. It leads to a religion and a life of fearful obedience, to a multitude of petty dictates, where the spirit is deadened and far away from the heart of God. To say to your child or your friend or your spouse or anyone really, I will only love you if you do it right, is to ensure a sick and twisted relationship. It hurts everyone involved. And in response to all this, Jesus says, come to me. Not to a new law, not to a new teaching, not to a secret interpretation or a hidden loophole, not to a book, not to a list, but to me. Come to Jesus himself. In essence, Jesus is saying, if you seek God, if you seek his love, if you seek a life that makes some sense, if you want a way of understanding the world that allows you to deal honestly with what happens and not be destroyed, if you want to be who you are created to be, if you want this, then come to me. It's a call to relationship with Jesus, and to relationship with the community that continues Jesus' life and ministry, the church. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem is the holiest church in Christendom for most. It rests on the site of Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified and the tomb in which he was laid. Thousands of people enter it every day and wait in long lines to touch the place where Jesus died and was buried, and they pray. The church is shared by six Christian denominations: the Greek Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, the Roman Catholics, Egyptian Coptics, Syriacs, and Ethiopians. Consensus tries to rule the day. And as you can imagine, six Christian denominations very rarely agree on anything. Yet, in the year 1187, they did agree on something historic. Up to this point, there had been massive disagreements about who would be the keeper of the keys, who would lock and unlock the church. They could not agree with each other, but in that year, they were able to agree to give the keeper of the keys to a Muslim family known as Jauda. To me, that is just amazing. A Muslim family becomes the yoke for the holiest place in Christendom. It is grace, pure and simple. Jesus asks us to listen, to be gracious, to love all, to accept him as our yoke. In today's gospel, at the beginning is a half of a verse that many people miss, for they are difficult words. To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." We are not called by Jesus to a ministry of not. We are called to a ministry of yes. Yes to Jesus as our yoke. Yes to help those who are in despair. Yes to comfort those who mourn. Yes to those who are marginalized and discriminated against. Yes to relationship with those not like us. And yes, this unique and wonderful calling is not easy. For you see, in many translations, including ours this morning, unfortunately, the translation uses Jesus calling his yoke easy. That is an unfortunate English word to use here. It makes it sound like everything's a snap, that very little effort or energy is required to do it. And as anyone who has truly tried to live the life of Jesus knows, it is anything but easy. So I would like to offer up the New English Bible's translation here, for it reads, "My yoke is good to bear." The point is not that this yoke, the Lord's call to relationship, makes no difference or asks nothing of us. Quite the contrary. The point is that it fits. It's the right size. So it works. It leads to God, and it brings with it a wholeness and a peace that can be found nowhere else. To come to him is to discover that what can seem a frantic and desperate task, life with God, is in fact not an earned reward, but a free gift. To come to him is to discover that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To come to him is to discover that the task of getting it all correct is replaced by the absolute gift of God's grace and our grateful response to that gift. all that strong stuff that we've been hearing the past few weeks about the cost of discipleship is still very much here. But the yoke is good to bear. It leads to life. To put it on is to be embraced by God's mercy. To carry it, to share it with others, is to fulfill both God's will and our own deepest humanity. We are called to this new yoke, not to a law or to a set of rules, but to a person and a community built around that person. And in this religious quest, the greatest journey of human existence, we can find its richest fulfillment and its deepest satisfaction. Jesus said, "Come to me if you seek God, if you seek life, and I will give you rest."